hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, oh yes, Lord, how great Thou art. God to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brooks and together to sing this last verse. When Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow
Your soul sing this morning. Worship to a living God. Amen. We're going to take some knees before the Lord. We have Brother Drome. This has a cold and congestion this morning. Also want to remember Grandmother Pruitt has hurt her hip, needs our prayers. Amen. How many would have a need? You'll make it known to the Lord. Amen. Let's just go to Him in prayer. Take each of these needs and remember each other as you pray. Father, Lord God, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, and worship You. Lord, to worship You in spirit and in truth. God, may our hearts, our souls sing this morning, Lord. God, may we be able to lay aside everything, Lord. Every thought of tomorrow or this next week, if yesterday, Lord, if things pass. Every thought of past failures. Lord, lay them aside, Lord God, and sing with our soul this morning and worship You. Because, Lord, You indeed deserve the worship, Lord. You deserve the praise, God. Lord, may there go a challenge of faith this morning, Lord. If God be God, serve Him, Lord. May we serve You with everything within us, Lord. May we worship You with everything within us. Every heart, Lord, may there be such an atmosphere created this morning, Lord. An atmosphere, Lord, that the very God of heaven will feel honored to dwell in, will feel honored, Lord, to come amongst us, Lord, and to touch our hearts and meet our needs. Lord, many times, God, we have needs, Lord, but, Lord, we don't want to put forth the energy or the passion, Lord, it takes, Lord, to create that atmosphere that You would come, Lord, and meet those needs. God, but we want to lay that all of that aside today, God. Our weariness, our sickness in our bodies, Lord, our depression, whatever is a cause, a hindrance, Lord. May every hindrance spirit leave right now, Lord, and let freedom of spirit move, Lord. May You have freedom and liberty, God. Lord, to move in every heart. You've seen the hands that were lifted, God. Lord God, may there be such an outpouring of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord, here from the front of the church all the way to the back, Lord. Every deacon pew, Lord. Every sound booth, Lord. Video booth, Lord. The platform, God. The every seat, God. Lord, may it just be surrounded by Your presence, God, I pray. God, that You move freely, Lord Jesus. Every backslider, every part, Lord, every place, we ask, God, that You would move. Lord, these hearts' desires today, the hands that were lifted, God, reach down and touch, I pray. God, for the prayer requests, Lord, here, Lord. Brother Drome, Lord, not able to serve as a deacon this morning because of sickness in his body. God, we rebuke the devourer, Lord. May healing virtues flow through that body. Grandmother Pruitt, Lord, not here this morning. Hurt her hip, God. Lord, and think it may even be fractured. Don't know what the problem is, but You are the healer. God, may the balm of Gilead flow through that body. Healer this morning, we pray. God, we commit our service to you, Lord. Every song that's sung, every voice that's lifted, every heart that's bowed, Lord, every special that's sung, Lord, every word that's spoken, may it be under the unction of the Holy Ghost this morning, we pray. Commit this to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to welcome each and every one here today. We have Brother Joe and Sister Carol Perkins here with us and their family. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Brother Tim Perkins, mom and dad and sisters. I want to make them welcome. Also, if you have not paid for youth camp, please pay in the library today. That needs to be taken care of today. And also, we will be performing the skit that we're going to do at youth camp. It will be this afternoon. We'll determine what time that will be. At the end of the service, we'll re-announce that and tell you what time. So want to remember that. Also, there will be no service this Wednesday or Sunday here, so that we will not be, I guess we'll be streaming, though, the services, far as I know, from Dry Creek there. So, amen. God bless you. I want you to just turn around and welcome each other to the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus. My God's not dead. He is alive. Amen. I believe in a God that's not dead. Amen. What use is a God that's dead? Amen. But he's not dead. He's alive. Let me ask the brothers if they would to take of the offering as we sing this. Oh, my God's not dead. He's alive, God. Joe Adams. Glad he's back with us. Been gone ministering there in Alaska. Glad to have you back. Say amen. Amen. Talking about Brother Joe. Amen. 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 Been missing that. I want you to turn around. I want you to tell your neighbor, my God's not dead. Amen. He's alive and I'm alive this morning because he's alive. Amen. Well, my God's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. The Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. With Jesus, oh, it's down in my heart. It is.
in my heart, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It is down in my heart, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's all over me. Yes, it's all over me. It's all over, yes, it's all over me. Oh, keeping me alive, keeping me alive, it is all over me. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Heaven's Jubilee. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. We'll let you be seated if you'd like. Amen. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. He's coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. And what rejoicing there will be when the saints arise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what on that happy morning when we all shall rise, and oh, what glory when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. And Jesus, now I almost see all the saints there. That is just your hand. I can't even, I almost can't even sing this song. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting. I'll tell you what, we don't have to wait to get there to do that. Amen. We can have it right here. We can rise into the heavenly places right here. Hallelujah. Oh, what glory. We can have that kind of glory right here. Amen. We can meet our blessed Savior right here. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, I want that kind of service this morning, that the King of Kings can be seen visibly among us by His presence this morning. Oh, yes. We ain't got to wait to get there to sing in the Holy Ghost. How many has the Holy Ghost this morning? We can sing in the Holy Ghost. I got to quit. Oh, when with all that heavenly host we begin to sing. Oh, singing in the Holy Ghost. Oh God. Praise Christ to ages long, heavens. Oh, what singing. Oh God. On that verse one more time.
Oh, some glad morning we shall see. Oh, may it be the day coming after you and me. Joys I can share, and what rejoicing there will be when the saints arrive.
Talk to him for a moment. Yeah, say, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you this morning, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Yeah. Forever. Ask Brother Tim to come and bring their special. Yes, so I want to see him. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, there to see forever of his saving grace. The streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Oh, cares are past. I'm home. What a day.
Ever to rejoice. Thank you.
cross. In your kindness and your mercy, you became the way for us, forgetting all our sins. You remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing.
Amazing. More than wonderful, more marvelous. I know we sing this Wednesday night, but I think it's appropriate to sing it this morning. Amen. How great is our God? Is He great? Is He greater than all your problems?
Amen.
The splendor of
and darkness rises high.
God, sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great, oh how great is our, He's the name above all names.
What He really means to you. What He means to you. Young person, you tell Him. He's standing right here. You tell Him. What is greater than all my problems, all my situations. Than any situation I could ever walk in. Lord, You're greater than it all. Truly, we are a people who can sing how great is our God. Lord, we've seen You open the Red Seas. We've seen every devil defeated, Lord, in this age. Lord, we've seen blind eyes be opened, deaf ears hear. Sick people raise up off the bed of afflictions. Truly we can say, Lord, You are a great God. But we've seen sinners, Lord, lost in sin. Lord, just turn right around and make sons and daughters of a king. God, how great You are. Lord God, to see, Lord, every person here, Father. God, that this soul's been touched by You, Lord. God, we want to say we love You, Father. We worship You with everything within us, God. God, we ask, Lord, that You speak this morning. God, come and touch every heart, every life, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, speak, Father. As we sing this chorus together, only believe all things are possible. Only.
Father, because you're present today, all things are possible. Because you have a people on earth whom you are incarnating yourself in, then all things are possible. We are here today reporting for duty. We're standing here, Lord, with a commission given to us in this last day to herald forth the evening light to a dying world. And as the light shines in the midst of the confusion and darkness of this dismal day, Lord, it's going to reach every predestinated seed wherever they are. And we believe that you've got a people called by your name out of every nation, tribe, people, and tongue or language. And that you're calling that bride to attention, Lord. We are here today to serve you. Lord, I'm standing here, oh God, just as a vessel, asking that you would just come and move. Move the being out, Lord, and just take these lips and speak today. We know, Lord, you'll have a voice in this end time. And Lord, it's not a one-man voice, but it is the voice of Christ resounding out through a multi-membered bride. Lord, oh God, through a ministry around the world, oh God, who is prophesying again, speaking forth the words of eternal life. I ask, Lord, today that you'll just help us to move into the channel of the anointing. And Lord, that you would give us ears to hear so that the ears would be anointed. And that you would give us eyes to see because you're anointed with eyesight. And that we, oh God, would today speak as an oracle of God, someone that could just foretell the word, Lord, moving into that realm of the anointing that would break the yoke of unbelief and darkness off of people's lives where they could see a living, resurrected Christ. We're here today. We're here obedient to your voice, Lord. We want to be yielded to you. So I give myself afresh and anew. I say, Lord, if there's anything I've held back from you, forgive me of it. And let me give my all today to serve you as I want to make a full surrenderance. Lord, may every person today make that full surrenderance. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask it for your glory and for your honor and because you promised. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Before you're seated, I'd like you to take your Bibles and let's turn to the book of Ephesians. And I would like to read from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I'd like to read from the 30th verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. May God bless you. Can be seated. We today want to go right into the word, as I have a lot on my heart, realizing we're not having the Wednesday night service here, but we'll start the meetings down at camp on Thursday. So then we will have our service is there over the weekend. And today I have some things that I would like to just share with you. I'm going to just take some time and some real liberty this morning. And I want you just to pray. And maybe that as we are speaking here, that you could just start praying even now and asking God to help you to move into the channel of the anointing and to be able to receive something from God. And the song leader and worship leader has done his part, but now, you know, it's our part now to receive something from God and let God speak to us. How many would say this morning, Lord, speak to me personally? I want to hear from you personally. Amen. Well, I believe that God
wants to be a personal God. And he wants to reveal himself in a very personal manner. And so today I am just speaking to here on some things, with some confirmation coming from two or three different sources, not even one knowing the other, but just from things that I have on my heart to deliver today. So, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it all be established. And so today we're going to be looking at a subject where we have been speaking on the roadmap. And we have been using the illustration of the roadmap, that a roadmap, of course, is no good unless that you know where you're at. And then once you know where you're at, then you can see where you've come. And then you can see then your destination, wherever that is, how to get there from here. And of course, we were in this age, as we have said, where that we didn't know where we were. I mean, nobody knew what age we were at or what time that we were in or what was prophesied to the age until a prophet comes, a seer, and he takes the road map, which is the Bible, and he points into the scripture and says, here's where we're at. And here is where we have come from Pentecost on down through the seven ages, and now we're here at the last age. How important that is to us today to look at these things and to realize where we're at in time. We've been speaking on the bride age as to understand that, and now the token age that we've been speaking on. And today I'm going to be carrying that a little further by speaking on a positive token. A positive token. That where we're at, there a positive token that has been given. That we can have that real full assurance. That we can know. We can have that positive understanding. You know, it's really important that we know where we're at this time because, you know, again, everything is moving right into its proper place. There are things that are happening. I was just listening to Brother Branham yesterday on the uniting time and sign. And Brother Branham was talking about the time of uniting and the sign of it. And how that things has to come at a certain point for things to happen. I don't think that it's of accident. And I'm just throwing this out this morning as we approach this subject so you can see the seriousness of where we're at. But I don't think it's by accident that we, for the first time in all of history, the world has a Jesuit priest that has now become a pope for the first time in history. And actually this pope has been spoke of been proclaimed by the ancient prophecies of to be the last pope. And I don't know anything about their ancient prophecies or anything like that, but I do know that we're coming down to fulfillment. And you say, well, why a Jesuit? Why is that something that's important to us? Well, it's just like John Adams, one of our presidents, wrote to Thomas Jefferson in 1816, and he said, if there ever was a body of men who merited eternal damnation on earth and in hell, it is this society of Loyola. And he said that Adams feared the Jesuits would try to undermine the new republic separation of church and state. This was something they saw coming, even our founding fathers saw coming from years back. It is the purpose of the Jesuit order that was formally established by the Pope in 1540 to destroy the Protestant Reformation. They call it the Counter-Reformation. Niccolini of Rome wrote the Jesuits by their very calling, by the essence of their institution, are bound to seek by every means, right or wrong, the destruction of Protestantism. This is the condition of their existence, the duty that they must fulfill or cease to be Jesuits. Again, their very oath is that they have to swear upon becoming a Jesuit said, my son, heretofore you've been taught to act the dissembler among the Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic, and to be even a spy even among your own brethren, to believe no man, to trust no man. Among the reformers, to be a reformer. Among the Huguenots, the French Protestants, to be a Huguenot. Among the Calvinists, to be a Calvinist. In other words, to infiltrate every movement that could. You know, among the Protestants, those who protest and disagree with the Roman Catholic institution, to become a Protestant, obtaining their confidence, to seek even the priests from their pulpits, and to denounce with all the vehemence, the violent emotion in your nature, our holy religion and the Pope, and even to descend so low as to become a Jew among the Jews, that you might be enabled to gather all the information for the benefit of your order as a faithful soldier of the Pope. You have been taught to insidiously plant the seeds of jealousy and hatred between states that were at peace, and incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war with each other, and create revolutions and civil wars in communities and provinces and countries that were independent and prosperous, cultivating the arts and the science and enjoying the blessings of peace, to take sides with the combatants, to act secretly in concert with your brother Jesuit who might be engaged on the other side but openly opposed to that which you might be concerned. Only that the church may be gainer in the end and the condition fixed in the treaties for peace, and that the ends justify the means. And this has been the vow, the oath that they have taken through the years to subvert, to destroy, to infiltrate, to spy out, to preach even against Catholicism and with vehemence in the pulpit, only to be acting and working, gaining confidence, only to working undercover for the benefit of the church. All of these things have been done from historically on down until now. These very men are now empowered, and they're in place because we are on the verge of the tribulation period. If we would read in Revelation chapter 12, we would see that, in fact, the matter is, I'll just read it to you. Let's just go to Revelation chapter 12. I wasn't going to read this, but just to go through it real quickly, I just want you to see it. Revelation chapter 12. This kind of just shows you exactly where it is in the scripture. This is where that verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast out into the earth. Now, Revelation 12, 7 shows the war in heaven. Satan cast out, comes down to earth. He becomes incarnate in a man. Then we find that at the same time, the bride goes up. So just prefacing this, the bride is left, and that starts your tribulation period that's coming. So now if you look in the scripture, and when the dragon saw he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, that is Israel, and which brought forth the man-child, that was Jesus, and to the woman, which was given two wings of a great eagle, that's her two witnesses, the prophets, that she might fly into her wilderness, into her place. And again, this is the anointing that she comes under, that she moves into her place, into her position, into a wilderness that has been vacated now for almost 2,000 years through the dispersal of the Jews, and now have been regathered back to their homeland. And notice where she is nourished now for a time and times and a half time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. Well, how do we get time? How do we get that? That's a time, that's 1 year, times 2 years, and a half time is a half a year, 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood, which Brother Branham identified as armies, that he might, after the woman, that's Israel, that he might carry her, she might be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth, which of course is Armageddon and the great earthquake there where the great destruction will take place when God comes to fight them. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you can see the foolish virgin during that time is hunted down and persecuted and exterminated. And there's going to be great, great tribulation. And you talk about this press that people have been looking for. Here it is. Amen. And so it lays right there, laying, you know, just some very few years right in front of us. It's not very far. It's, if the rapture takes place today, we're not talking about but just a few years, 3.5 years before this all comes into place. And you say, oh, now Brother Tim, but we're modern society. There can't be a Holocaust. Listen, it's been happening in our generation that the 6 million Jews were killed. It's in our generation in the Slavic countries where there's been those extermination of races and so on. And these spirits are loose. You know, that you see even anoint the black people in Africa with the Hutus and the others. Can't think their name right now, but the Tutsis. And you know, again, coming against one another and these awful anointings that are there that can exterminate millions of people while the world sits aghast and chewing their fingers and don't know what to do. And because these anointings have been released in this last day. And of course will happen. Now, as all of that is going on, and I'm just showing you a few of the world events just for a moment, do you notice even as we're talking about the roadmap and where we are and what our promises are and what is in our land and all of these other things, you know, Mr. Obama leaves from here, goes to Israel for his first time in his presidency, and he goes with a new map. And with this new map, this isn't something you're getting off of some wild website. This is in the news, folks, and through all over. But anyway, they're showing that the Golan Heights being a part of Syria, Jerusalem is depicted as a part of the West Bank, and northern Israel is shown as a part of Lebanon. And he's going over there and saying, "Listen, we'll give you peace. But we want Jerusalem, we want the West Bank, we want the Golan Heights, we want all of these other things, and we're going to put pressures upon you to pressure you into agreement to give all of this up." At the same time, the Vatican wants Israel to relinquish sovereignty at the Western Wall and the Temple Mount. The Holy See uses the expression Holy Basin, which refers to the area of Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, the Mount Zion, and variety of Christian holy sites, which the administration of former U.S. President Bill Clinton began recommending be administered under a special regime, because they want Jerusalem to belong to the world and under the jurisdiction of the Vatican, and it to be another city that is not owned by, you know, in other words, another state of its own, and Jerusalem to be, because it's the center of all religion. And if they can just get this all settled, they can just get it all settled, then we can have peace and safety. And so again, according to Obama, the old city of Jerusalem would be this designated as an international zone and belonging to the world. And so, you know, here again, we're at a very, very peculiar time. Things that are happening, the wheels of God's cogs of prophecy grinding slow but sure. And I want you to be aware of where we're at, because they're coming into their place. They're coming in recognizing their position and fulfilling Scripture. Amen. And so, again, it is our time to fulfill Scripture. I think it is really really important that we realize that even today, 50 years ago, commemorates the preaching of the seventh seal and the conclusion of those seven seal messages having been opened by the Lamb and sent down to earth to the seventh angel. I want you to understand, church, we are in the breaking of a jubilee. Amen. And it's time that we look then to see that the token is applied. Amen. That we have that token in hand. It is not a time to play around. It's not a time to play church. It's not a time just to occupy a pew. It's not a time for mothers and daddies to sit on their pew and think, well, you know, I've done my part just getting my kids to church. There's got to be the token applied in every life and every heart. And young people, your parents can't do it for you. If you're at the age of accountability, you have to apply that token to your own house. And I'm not talking about the dwelling you live in. I'm talking about this building, your body, which is to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now you wonder, why would the Vatican, why would they be so interested in this little place on the globe? Because Satan knows this is where the New Jerusalem is coming down. And God will dwell there. Are you with me? Amen. But let me tell you, that's only symbolic. That's only symbolic. That land and is conquering and who's there and whatever is only symbolic of something that is happening on the spiritual plane. And that is that we have now returned to a time where the same Holy Ghost, amen, the same Jesus Christ who came on the day of Pentecost. We're not talking about a gift of the Spirit, and we're not talking about a work of the Spirit, such as sanctification or justification or gift of the Spirit, such as tongues or miracles or healings or prophecies. But we're talking about Christ Himself coming down to tabernacle within human beings. And there is where the great contest, you're seeing it on the physical side and the literal side with Israel being a physical land. But I want you to know our inheritance is not a physical land as yet. It is a spiritual land. And that is to come to that place that we become the dwelling place of the living God. Amen. And I want you just to realize this is where all of hell is against. This is where the battle lines are drawn. This is where that Satan is coming to put it with his treaties, with his plans, and with his schemes, and saying that, you know, God will not possess that, but he will possess it because he is coming down to become incarnate. I'm talking about Satan now. Satan is becoming incarnate in people. Am I pouring out his spirit and his anointing? And as the bride goes up, remember the fullness of that happens, and we'll talk about that as we go along today. But I want you to understand we're at a time where Satan has said he'll destroy us. He has surrounded us. He's come against us. He's done everything that he can do to create a society, to pump this world full of unbelief, to cram your children full of unbelief, to control your mind and your thinking, and to pollute you in every kind of way and bring you down into lukewarmness and to Laodicean conditions. Amen. But I want you to know that as the death angel approaches and his shadow is getting darker and darker across the land, I want you to know that God hasn't forgot you, but he has provided a token that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, that there is an escape. There is an escape, oh man, amen, of the things that are coming upon the earth. Now, we have come to that time that where the token must be applied. And I want to just get it down to you today that it's a positive token. Now, we're going to just go into this a little bit as we do and just share with you some of the things. But as Brother Branham told us in the token message, therefore, as the evening shadows are appearing and the wrath is ready to be poured out from on high upon the ungodly nations, upon the ungodly unbelievers, upon the professors without a possession, upon these things, as I've tried to unfold myself and live right among it and to see where it was standing before I said these things. We are living in the shadows and the wrath is ready to strike. And God is requiring a token that you yourself has received His token, the Holy Ghost. And it is the only way and the only sign that God will ever pass because, and I want you to get this, it is the literal life of Jesus Christ returned back to the believer. It is the literal life, not a portion, not a dip of the Spirit, not a work of the Spirit, but the very literal life of Jesus Christ. As he said, and now the entire Spirit, Holy Spirit, visits the church, making God in human flesh, as he did before Sodom, the burning there, which is a type. Then Abraham, he appeared to him. Now, let me just tell you again, this is a token. It is a free pass. I want you to get this thought because, you know, I don't want you to tell me at all that this true token, which is your free pass, is the same as a baptism or anointing of the Spirit that you can have every day of your life and still go to hell. No, sir. One is the anointing or having gifts without the Spirit, without possessing the Holy Ghost. And the other is having the Spirit, the person himself. And I just want to say, and when you receive it, you can never lose it. And you don't keep it. Amen. Because it keeps you. Because it is a positive token. I want you to understand, yes, you can have a baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and you can go to hell. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot have this token and miss the rapture. You cannot have this token, amen, and not be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You cannot have this token and miss it. But you can be justified without being sanctified, and you can be sanctified without having been filled. But when you are filled with that person, he cannot be lost. And I'm just going to tell you, it's the token that makes the difference. And we're talking about the token. I'm not talking about a jump. I'm not talking about a shout. I'm not talking about a dance. I'm not talking about a gift like tongues. I'm talking about receiving Him, the person. The token was the thing that made the difference between Israel and Egypt. They were all human beings. All God created. All the handiwork of God. But the difference when the death penalty was passed, the difference between life and death was the token. And so will it be at the coming of the Son of God when He brings the bride out of a church. The difference will be the token. Now there has got to be a difference. And I'm going to dwell on that just for a moment because I want you to understand. You may have believed on the Lord Jesus and you may have accepted Him as personal Savior. You may have works of sanctification. But you must have that life. Now, again, question answers on the seals. And I'm going to go back to some of the things Brother Branham preached. I went through everything that he spoke about the Holy Ghost on the seals because of this 50th Jubilee that we're here. But he just was talking about like at Green's Mill. When I came out of the cave, I couldn't understand how people could speak with tongues and shout. And with the genuine Holy Ghost. In other words, shout anointed by the genuine Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues anointed by the genuine Holy Ghost. And still be Antichrist. Speak with tongues with genuine Holy Ghost. And tongues speaking. And still be a devil. And he went, remember, this was why he had went up there praying, was because he had been in Pentecostal meetings where that there were prophecies and tongues and interpretation, and they would happen right to the dot. And he discovered one of them was a real sincere brother who was really a real Christian. And the other one was, well, he saw by vision, was living with another man's wife and living in an adulterous situation and yet with a genuine gift. And he said, how could this be? How could this happen? And God showed him the rain or the spirit. The anointing comes on the just and the unjust. That it'll make the tare rejoice when they're in the drought, when the rain falls, and make the tare rejoice along with the wheat. And so again, because if the Spirit comes and anoints, does it mean that it doesn't separate whether they're tare or wheat? It falls on all. It falls on everybody. Amen. Everything that's in the field, that's why there's been a great sweep of the Holy Spirit in this last day. And there's been great revivals that have went forth. But look at the crop. Look at the crop that is producing. And I just say, oh God, let me be a part of that crop that is identified with the Word. Amen. Amen. Notice, he said, notice them when they did that. So tongues is no evidence of the Holy Ghost. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The devil can impersonate everything he's got, the divine healing, everything else. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't I cast out devils, and haven't I done many mighty works in your name? He said, that's preaching the gospel and all these other things. And I will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Jesus didn't say, no, you didn't. You didn't cast out a devil. Now we know casting out devils, healing the sick. And we know Satan doesn't cast out Satan. Jesus said that. So it had to be by the Spirit of God. And let me just challenge your thinking for a minute. How do you think that those men there that opposed Moses, how did they cast their serpent or their rod down and become a serpent? Satan doesn't have the power of creation. They were using a gift of God. And they were anointed to harden Pharaoh's heart. There was a purpose in allowing that anointing to come upon them. Because Egypt was not to go out with Israel. Neither, and also Egypt had to be punished because of her, the things that she had done to Israel all of those years. And so there again, God allowed his heart to be hardened. Though he saw miracles, though he saw signs, but they were able to impersonate enough that they got some of them to kept them from making an exodus. That's what this age of impersonation is. Amen. That's why you have anointed false one, true anointed false seed. That's part of the mystery of the last age. Jesus said it would be so close it would deceive the elect if it were possible. How many is glad it's not possible? Amen. God is going to have an elect. His word won't return into him void. And that elect will not be deceived. And God, to make sure you weren't deceived, he took the road map in this day and vindicated it time after time after time after time to show you without a doubt that the one who was pointing to the road map knew what he was talking about. God wanted you to have assurance. As we look at this, the Bible said the rain falls on the just and unjust the same. Same cocklebur standing in the wheat field there can be as happy and shout with the same water that fell upon him, both sent to the rain, but by their fruits ye shall know them. That little old cucklebur can stand there and just be as happy and shouting as he can be, just full of the same rain that the wheat is. Think of that. There you are. And they can just shout, speak in tongues, impersonate everything they want to. In that day be called workers of iniquity. As I told you a while ago, listen to what I say. Listen close. Look back down. Examine yourself with the word and see where you're at. You women that's got short hair, let her grow. If you're wearing shorts, take them off. Act like a lady. If you men are still smoking cigarettes and run to the pool hall, stop it. I don't care how much you profess. If you're still holding that organization saying, this is it, you better stop. Look back and examine it with the word. We're getting plumb out. We ought to live above the short hair and all this age. We're coming back into something now. God revealing the hidden mysteries that's been put on the book before the foundation of the world. And I just say that we ought to be way beyond that. We shouldn't have to even those things that should not have to come to you, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Amen. But rather the Holy Ghost being on the inside of you, an inside teacher that's going with you shopping, that convince you of sin, that it doesn't take some preacher to preach it and point it out, but you yourself have got such a life of Jesus Christ that you live like he said to live. That you act like he said to act. That is nothing that is legislated. But it's the power of God bringing conviction. And the power of God bringing a correction. Are you with me? Amen. God living in your life. But listen, he said, now, and those who have obeyed in these small things will catch it in these other things. He's standing right here today, as it were today, Sunday. Now the seventh seal is fixing to be preached. It's Sunday morning. And he's question and answers that I'm reading from. And he says, and those who have obeyed in these small things will catch it in these other things. How could he say that? Because he said you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. But those who will grow, those who will mature, those who will change with the word, then he can teach supernatural things. You say, well, you know, I don't believe a lot of this stuff, Brother Tim. Well, I tell you, you ain't got anything in you to believe with. You've got to have the Holy Ghost on the inside or you're going to be full of questions. And full of doubt. So what, we got a right to have a question. Yes, you have a right for the devil to come and put questions in you. But in the inside of you, there ought to be something warning. Amen. A warning bell go off that tells you that's wrong there. Don't listen to that voice. This bride is not going to be deceived like Eve was deceived. The serpent comes along, yea, God said, and asking all these other questions and questioning and questioning and questioning and questioning. And you got to know all the answers and all the answers. Well, I'll tell you, I've got the devil's answers. So what is that answer? I've been born again. I've been filled with the Spirit. I've got power over him. He can howl all he wants to. Come on, that's a real believer. Come on, somebody. He can howl all he wants to. He can scream all he wants to. He can flow with his questions all he wants to. But he'll never move a real son of daughter of God that is anchored there by the Holy Ghost. As we're looking at this, those who obeyed in these small things will catch it in these other things. If they haven't, it'll go over the top of your head as far as east as from the west. Like Gideon separating his men. There's thousands and thousands, and God said there's too many. And I'm just looking around sometimes and I'm wondering, Maybe we got too many. Maybe there's too many following this message. Maybe it's a time like Gideon, where God says there's too many. It's separating time. You say, oh, now wait a minute, Brother Tim. Wait, the rapture itself is a separating time. I'll take one and I'll leave one. There might be two in the bed. I'll take one and leave one. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one. I'll leave one. The rapture itself is a separating time. That's what we're in, is a rapturing age. Gideon was told, separate them. God said, there's too many. He said, separate them again. Gave them another test. On down until he had just a little handful. And that's when God said, that's the group I want to do the job. God's going to have a group he's going to do the job with. And they ain't trusting in power, and they're not trusting in mental powers. They're not trusting in education. They're trusting in God. They're simple enough to believe that 300, just 300 could whip with their God on their side, 300. With a glass and a trumpet and the instruments that they was told, blow the trumpet. Amen. You know, shine the light, blow the trumpet, run through their midst and say, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Hallelujah. They were simple enough to believe that 300 could rout such an army. And destroy the armies of Satan then. And I say to you today, spread the light. Yes. Sound the trumpet. Yes. Hallelujah. We're more than able to take the land. Amen. Amen. The enemy will be as bread before us. We are more than conquerors. We ought to look at that this morning and say, though we may be few in number, though there be separation time, God's going to have somebody that'll hold forth the light and proclaim the message. Those who bow down and it's been showing they've been bowing to idols, they're going to be deselected. They're going to be dismissed. And I'm just telling you, church, I'm just telling you, if you don't want to go, you're dismissed. If you're afraid, then you're dismissed. If you see, if you're a bunch of cowards and say, well, you know, you're going to run at every little thing that shakes along, you're dismissed. Amen. But me, I'm going on. How about it? How many of you would say the same thing? For me and my house, we're going forward. We're going to smite the Midianites. We're going to stand with the word for this hour. Amen. Because what other hope have you got? I just say to you, what other hope have you got? The charismatic, the Baptist, the organizations, the Protestants, the Catholics, the Islamics, the Buddhists. What other options have you got? There ain't no other options. Well, I'll just go and read my Bible. Okay? I'm just going to go to some place that all they do is teach the Bible. Well, look around. You're looking for a place to preach the Bible? This is what we preach. Everything we believe comes out of this word. God said he would send Elijah the prophet, and God did it. You show me you're Elijah. Come on. Amen. He said he would send it. I didn't say it. Amen. God said it in his word. Amen. God said he would vindicate a messenger and a message in the last day. God did it. And God wasn't ashamed of it. Why should we be ashamed of it?
It is a time of separation. It's a time of realizing Gideon's army is being assembled. Amen. And it's going to be made up of believers. Believers. Amen. We ought to say today, God, whatever you do, purge me, cleanse me, wipe unbelief from me. But whatever do, let me be a believer. The time of examining the lamb is over. Luther examined the lamb and found out the blood would justify him. Wesley examined the lamb and found the blood would sanctify. Pentecost examined the lamb and found baptisms and gifts and anointings. The applied portions of the word that would give them gifts and anointings. But the blood could not be applied until the evening time. And it was only evening age that the bride would understand that the blood means you never did it in the first place. Because it is a positive token. Hallelujah. Amen. That everything that was against you has been stricken off. Keeping up the lamb was good in other ages. Examining the lamb was good in other times. And I want to just deal with that for a moment. Because you say, well, Brother Tim, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's just examining the lamb. Remember, that's not the applying of his blood. That's just realizing, oh, Jesus died at Calvary. Oh, he died for me. He died for the world. He died. He forgives. Just like I've said, you got a man that he's got a great debt. He can't pay his job. He can't pay the bill. His house is being in foreclosure. His car is being repossessed. He's without a job. He can't pay the bill. He can't do nothing. And finally a rich man comes along and says, I tell you what, I'll pay your debt. Oh, you know, the sleepless nights. Oh, the horrible things of every time the phone rings and whatever. It's all over. Rich man paid my debt. But unless the life and nature of that rich man comes down into me, I'll just go back and make more debts. And people have been forgiven of their debts only to go make more, to forgiven of their sin, still to live in adultery and every kind of sex sin and pornography and everything else. But I am telling you that the life of our Redeemer, the life of that lamb, the nature of that lamb, hallelujah, can come into you where you never go back into the world again and never go in debt again. I've received of his forgiveness, so did the poor man, only to go get more credit cards and max them out. Only to go make more debts. Say, Brother Tim, well, your preaching is impossible. That's what the world is saying. The Bible said they would deny the power thereof. Catholic Church believes in miracles. Pray to the Virgin Mary. See a shadow on the wall. See a figure on a tomato. Believe on it and get a healing. They believe in miracles. They make saints out of men that, you know, because of some miracle that was done or whatever, you know, somebody prayed in his name. Listen, let me tell you something, church. It's not that at all. Are you with me? Amen. It takes something more than that. It takes that life of Christ to be on display. Amen. What's now as we're seeing it? Brother Branham said, apply it, church. Don't fail. Will you now? Don't let the sun set. Don't rest day or night. You say, Brother Tim, there's been probably 40 something years have passed since he said that. You know, and I just went right along anyway and nothing's happened. I'm just telling you, church. I'm just telling you, you missed a lot of great opportunities. You missed a chance to be walking with God. You missed the opportunity to walk with power in your life. Amen. With overcoming power in your life. That's why there's all these trouble in your family. And kids that are disillusioned and troubled in the churches and schisms in the body and everything else. Because men didn't do what the prophet of God said. Apply that token. Amen. You don't want to wait another day. You've got to have that life. That life of Jesus Christ. And it's got to be on display. The world's got to be able to see it. Your wife has got to be able to see it. Your children has got to be able to see it. It's everywhere you go. They can see the blood is on display. The life of Jesus Christ is living out of your life. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you do business. It affects the way that you treat your wife. It affects the way you treat your children. It changes your mind about what the world is saying. You think altogether different because the life of Jesus Christ is there. And it's a positive token. You say, I believe. Yes, I go. Yeah, I believe the message. I'm quoting Brother Branham. That's all right. But that's good. But you must have the token. Do you hear Branham Tabernacle? Now remember, the token that he's talking about is the life that was in the blood. The nature of the Lamb. Well, make sure you get it. If I sometimes go elementary on you, I'm doing it for a reason. I want everybody to get it. Under the Old Testament, they had the pain of the blood showed the lamb died. The lamb had to die so they could take the paint and put it on display. But the nature of that lamb being human, being you were human or the man was human and the animal's animal life could not come back upon the worshiper. But how different that it is with this lamb. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? That you can have the very nature of Jesus Christ. Amen. But you must have the token. Do you hear, Branham Tabernacle? You must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. You'll live a good life. You'll listen to what the Word says. You'll go to church. You'll live right. That's fine. But that's not it. When I see the blood, that's the token. Don't just come this far and say, I believe the message. You obey the messenger. Come into Christ. You say, well, I believe every word said, Brother Branham. That's good. But that's just being able to read. See, that's just keeping up the lamb and saying, yeah, I believe that's your serpent seed. That makes good sense. And yeah, I can see God would send an Elijah before the world burns. That also makes logical sense. I can, and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. That's a good thing to do. I believe that makes sense. But we're not talking about what makes logic. Amen. 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 So I believe it. Yeah, you ought to believe it. Listen, we've had young people leave from this church, go out into the world, sit on a bar stool and argue predestination and serpent seed and God sent a prophet and do a good job of it. But they didn't have the life. Are you with me? The nature of the Lamb was not in them. Or they'd never be found on a bar stool. You wouldn't have to keep them out of the pool room. You wouldn't have to go and get them out of drugs and sin and everything else. Listen, church, the reason your kid went out into the world, the reason your husband, your wife went out in the world, they didn't have the token. And when the death angel came over their way, what happened? They died. And you wonder why you're sick? You wonder why you're lukewarm? You wonder why you're backslidden? You wonder why you're having all these questions? You don't have the token. The life isn't there. Take the message. Take it in your heart that you must have the token. The very life, say it with me, the very life that was in Christ being in you. When I see that, I'll pass over you. Listen, Brother Branham said in the second seal, now I'm going back to this Jubilee sermons that we're speaking about. When Jesus incarnates himself and his people, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. What would it do if you took the life out of a grapevine and put it in a pumpkin vine? It wouldn't bear pumpkins no more. It'd bear grapes. What if you took the life of a peach tree and put it into a pear tree? Would it bear pears? No, it'd bear peaches. The life tells what it is. Amen. When you hear people say they got the Holy Ghost and deny this word, there's something wrong. Amen. The Holy Ghost wrote the word. Listen, the Bible said he cannot deny himself. That's one thing God cannot do. He cannot deny the word. Are you with me? Amen. You hear people say they got the Holy Ghost, deny the word, there's something wrong. The Holy Ghost wrote that word, and Jesus said, if a man has my spirit in him, he'll do my works. You want to read that? You put it down. St. John 14:12. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even more than this shall he do before I go to the Father. Then he sanctifies and cleans him so he can stand before God. And that drop of ink falls there and takes him across the chasm. Now notice, as we continue reading this, on down into that third seal now, he said, and just as that Antichrist church progresses, so has the bride come along with different things through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, just moving right on just like that. Oh, they taken the revival first and the church is taken at last. There are three stages of them that went into dark ages. Then the third stage, the third three stages comes the church out of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost again, incarnate God made manifest among us. Incarnate God. Amen. Satan says, I'll possess that. Satan there sitting up on Jerusalem symbolically showing, I will reign from there. I want that spot. Amen. But God says, I'll do whatever's necessary. I'll burn you out. I'll drive you out. I'll do everything. But I am going to have a people that I will tabernacle in. That they will be the dwelling place of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. He comes in as the Antichrist, or as a false prophet. And then the beast, then in the dark ages, the church comes out of that dark age, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the incarnate word, the way now, And then he goes down, the church goes up just as perfect as it can be. Oh, it's beautiful. Now, so anyway, he goes right on into that. Listen, what's he saying? That it's time, it is the age, as Satan is incarnating himself in a people. Amen. It's the time that God is also now incarnating himself in a people. That you could be the incarnate God. The Word made flesh. Amen. The Word made flesh. Not the Word that spoke of Jesus, but the Word that spoke of the bride. That Word made flesh. Remember, a lot of them could come by, that women that night, when that token was to be applied. I'm quoting Brother Branham from the token. Hey, Gertie, Lily, some of you, come on out. We're going to a party tonight. I'm under the blood. Amen. I'm under the token to stay there. My love is to my maker. Death is in the land tonight. And death is in the land today. Judgment is waiting. She's pending. Atomic, hydrogen, all kinds of disasters waiting for the nations. Amen. Come on, church. You got to, don't be asleep now. What other day has there ever been that could fulfill Zechariah 14 where the flesh falls off and melts off of the bones? What, and the eyes consume in the socket. What other age could there be? Amen. Where the beast has power to do miracles, to bring down fire out of heaven. What other age could there be where that it prophesied there would be a burning of the earth? But oh, in that same prophecy, there is a people that's going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked. I want to make an announcement to Satan this morning. I will walk out on your ashes.
Yes,
I will walk over your kingdom. I will walk. Hallelujah. Lord of blood, it's time that the bride realized she's a triumphant church. Amen. Spoken of in the word, prophesied for this hour. Amen. Called for this time to put Satan underneath her feet. Hallelujah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. You got a choice. We're fixing to come through the dividing of the seas in this Exodus, the dividing of dimensions. And you're going to see all your enemies dead behind you. Cancer will be dead behind you. Sickness will be dead behind you. Sin will be dead behind you. All your enemies, you'll see them. Hallelujah. They will not be able to cross the dimensions. Amen. You talk about a Miriam grabbing a tambourine and a Pentecostal hold down. There'll be a Pentecostal hold down. Hallelujah. As that bride, a triumphant people, cross on the other side with all the enemy behind them. We're talking about a triumphant church. We're talking about an indefeatable army. We're talking about an invincible army. And Gideon's army is being called. Gideon's army is being called. What side are you going to be on this morning? I don't know about all this noise this morning. Hey, when you get to heaven, you ain't seen nothing yet. You go back to the seals with me just a moment, and you hear about Brother Branham talking about the Nicolaitans. They didn't want to bring those people in where they shouted. You know, the rich men that got saved and whatever. They didn't want to bring in shouters, these shouters and screamers and rejoicing in the word. They didn't want that. They wanted, you know, the church to be more pious and quiet and, you know, just receive things. As we receive the word, we get it. No joy of stimulation.
It's a lie.
Amen. It's that Nicolaitan spirit that takes the power of God away from the church. Amen. That makes it a powerless religion. This religion we have is not a powerless religion. It's a religion of power. There's enough power, hallelujah, to heal the sick. There's enough power to fill with the Holy Ghost. Enough power to change a life, to take a prostitute and make a real daughter of God out of her. To take a drunkard, to take, oh, hallelujah, amen, to take a dope addict and make a real son of God out of it. That's the power. And you ain't got to wait for some millennium to get it. hurt not the oil and the wine. Stimulation of revelation. Hurt it not. That's the message from the Lamb. I only listen to Him. The Antichrist spirit would make the church cold and formal and powerless. Now, Brother Branham said, we've been keeping the Lamb up for quite a time, watching, seeing what He's doing, watching His nature and everything. But now, the token has to be applied. It's got to be applied. It's the only thing. Except a man be born of the Spirit and the water, he will in no wise enter in. Believers should separate themselves from the world. Just don't take it lightly. Notice, they were not just coming together to talk about the message. They had come together to apply the blood. I hope you get it today. Not just coming together to talk about the message. Well, you got to have a lamb, and the prophet said this, and oh, didn't the prophet say that? And how great it was. Apply the life. Amen. We've seen enough now until we're positive sure the token must be applied. Without it, you're going to perish. You must perish. That's the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. How to do it? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. For He's not responsible for anything or anybody out from beneath it. Amen. Amen. Let me just go back now to God in simplicity, to this Jubilee series that we have just now come through 50 years. Opening message of the seals. Noah and believing with such a fanatics. And the people of today who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now the church says, these people are fanatics. They're nothing but a bunch of worked up, emotional, panic-stricken people. But little do they know that the Word of God teaches that. It is a promise. Little do they know, while they're smirking and call it fanatic, and then they're a bunch of worked up. Amen. That the word, they're just emotional, panic-stricken people. But little do they know that the Word of God teaches that it's a promise. Brother Branham said, in the, again, in God in Simplicity, he talks about, and let me just share it with you, because what we have come through, where we have come through is the winds of doctrine have blown through around the message. Educated men who want to bring sophistication to the message and polish it up and interpret it and say it was for another day. God in simplicity said, then He will try to find Him another man, somebody that'll do it. He's got to find somebody that'll take His word, will take the divine revelation, won't move with it. Will stay right there on that word. That's the way He does it. He's always done it that way. So when men get so educated and smart, he puts his own interpretation. They say, well, like the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they say, oh, that was for another day. But if they don't, well, it wasn't for another day. But I'll tell you, if it don't come like it did on the day of Pentecost, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe and all kinds of stuff like that. See, this sophistication, you know, of saying, well, it was for another day, if it wasn't for another day, but if we just don't come like it did on the day of Pentecost. We receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. And that becomes a prevailing thought of just get them to believe. Well, you know, that is the beginning. You do have to believe. He that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But that's only examining the Lamb. That's only realizing that the Lamb died for you. But then the token, the life, must be displayed. Then what do? We educate them in. Here's how you dress, and here's how you do, and here's what you do, and now just straighten up and be good to your neighbor, and you know, straighten up and be good to your wife, you know, be straighten up and be good to your kids, or straighten up and be good to your husband, you know, be a real wife, and, you know, listen, it ain't instructions you need. It's his life you need. We've had plenty of instructions. There's been marriage enrichment seminars and financial seminars and every kind of seminar. And we're gonna sophistication to teach them all how to live and do and conduct themselves. Listen, that ain't our message. Our message is there is a life changer. There is a Holy Ghost. There is a new nature. And that new nature lives on the inside of you. And it'll make you talk right and act right and live right. Treat your wife right. Treat your husband right. Even obey God with your finances. Sure, people need a little instruction sometimes. Just a little guidance from the Word. But what they really need is the Holy Ghost, because without it, you'll be one of those 50,000 who will join up and sign this pledge. I'll be true to my wife. Promise keepers. I'll be true. That's noble. Novel, that's wonderful. I mean, that's noble. Amen. Sign it. I'll be true to my wife. I don't have to sign it. It's in my nature. A child of God, he doesn't have to sign a paper. It's in his nature. It ain't written on a paper. It's written in a heart. That's where the new covenant is. Listen, David had all of those covenants. And he says, I'll write it. I'll write it and I'll keep it before my eyes. It'll be frontlets before my eyes. I'll put it there. I'll put it everywhere. On the doorposts, everywhere. And he went right around there and got Bathsheba. You can make your vows and you can make your promises, and I'll be true and I'll do that. But what happens? You don't have the promise keeper on the inside. You'll never be able to keep the promise. That's what people need in their lives, is the promise keeper, the Holy Ghost, that'll keep you in your trial, that'll keep you in your hour of temptation. That toxin Jesus took there, it kept him when he met with Lucifer. It kept him when he was tried. Come on. That toxin is the same thing that came from his veins. And it's the antidote for the serpent's bite. Hallelujah. I don't care how bitten you are, the serpent, and how poisoned your life has been, and how dying that you are. There is an antidote, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, that can wipe away every sin, that can cleanse you and purge you and make you white as snow. And give you an overcoming, victorious life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh yeah. So then some try to be a sheep. Okay. And pastors are having an awful time keeping wool on those wolves. Pinning wool. Come to my office and let me pin some more wool on you. You got to get some better conduct than that. It ain't conduct you need. It's the Holy Ghost you need. Some then become fanatics. Then you have the other side. You see, it's a highway. Ditch here, ditch there. Some then become a fanatic. And on the fanatical side, it's a bunch of worked up emotion. On the fanatical side, you jump for joy. If you ain't got joy, well, then you jump for it. You jump till you get it. That ain't right. You get the Holy Ghost and you'll have joy unspeakable. You won't have to jump for it. Now, it may make you jump when you get it, but you don't need to jump to get it. You can't jump it down. You can't scream it down. You can't do none of that down. All you have to... Are you with me, church? Amen. That'll never work. Amen. You see young people around the altar, and we'll see them in my youth camp, that will come around the altar trying to jump. And they'll go to jumping or go to shouting and shout or scream because they know they need a life change. So they'll work themselves. But you don't work yourself up into it. The Holy Ghost is not something given at a pep rally. The Holy Ghost is a person. Hallelujah. When you get Him, you'll have something to shout about. It'll put a dance in your step. It'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother Branham goes on to say, others go as far as being fanatics. They go the other side. And they think just because they jumped up and down or get some kind of sensation or emotion, speak with tongues or give a prophecy that happened to be right or something like that, they think that's it and that they've got it, but it isn't. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? And your name done many mighty works and cast out devils. And he'll say, depart, I never knew you. See, that isn't it. That isn't it, friends. That's the reason that tongues, evidence. I believe in speaking in tongues, but I don't take it as the only evidence of the Holy Spirit. No, sir. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence. Now, you see, that's the reason I have differed with the move of the Pentecostal brethren in that manner. They say, if a man speaks in tongues, he has the Holy Ghost. And I differ. That's no sign he's got the Holy Ghost. I've heard devils speak with tongues just as fast as it could and drink out blood out of a human skull, call on the devil. I've seen Indians take snakes and wrap around them in a rain dance out there in Arizona, hold up their hands like that and run around. The witch doctor come out lancing himself, lay a pencil down, it write in unknown tongues and give the interpretation. So don't tell me that. No, I'm too old for that. Jesus said, by their fruits, not tongues, emotions, but by their fruits you shall know them. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's God unfolding Himself in humility, sweetness, every day the same. You see, if it's just Wednesday and Sunday, it's an organizational life. Amen. But you see, it's something about a man that stays right with the Word. Every time he sees the Word, he punctuates it with an amen. No matter what other people say, he believes it. So then you got some who went to seed on that. And so then every time the preacher says something, they've got to show they got the Holy Ghost. So they jump up to shout. Whole churches move, running down to the pulpit and screaming and everything else just because the preacher said, God bless you today. So they have to show they got the Holy Ghost by saying amen to every word. That ain't it. It ain't how loud you scream at church. Where you say amen to the word is by your life that you live. That your life is in agreement. It comes in obedience to what the Word of God says. Are you with me? Now, we go to far enough then to rest upon a fanatical. And Satan gets among the people. That's Satan's business. And he's a good businessman. He gets among the people, make them think they've got it just because they can jump up and down and then hate your neighbor. No, sir. To say things and speak in tongues just wonderfully, things like that, and you can speak with genuine Holy Ghost tongues and still not have the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, so though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, that's the nature of God. You know that, charity? God is love. Amen. So it's His basic nature. Have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13. The Methodist said, when we shouted, we had it. But they didn't. Somebody help me preach. Just look at them shouting Methodists. What happened to them? Well, the shout finally died down. Amen. Very little shout left anymore. But anyway, what happened to the generations? There they come down to, they don't want to even believe Jesus is virgin born anymore, and start compromising on every word and all these other confusion that has come in into the Methodist church. Are you with me? Amen. And then the Nazarene, what they said, when they lived holy, they had it, but they didn't. It wasn't long till they lost all that holiness they talked about. And the Pentecostals said, when we speak in tongues, we got it, but they didn't. See, God unfolded himself, not in sensation. No, that sensation's yet with it. And we got those around the message say, oh, no sensation. You don't even know when you got the Holy Ghost. Well, come on now. How in the world do we come to that conclusion? See, that's way on the other side again. You went into another ditch. Amen. The Holy Ghost, listen, it is not sensation, but it is sensational. You can't have deity come down into a man and he not know it. You can't be born again and not know it. It is a happening. It came on the day of Pentecost. The sensation wasn't it, but him come and call sensation. What happened? What happened? Seeds of winds of doctrine blowing around, bringing a separation. Oh my. Here again. He said sensations yet with it. You see the place? He gets it so humble till anybody can see it. If you don't inject your own mind to it and your own thoughts. And then they become a bunch of fanatics. There's a cold formals on this side. And here's a fanatic on the other side. And here goes the bride right through it all, calling from both sides. That's just God vindicating it as he goes along his word. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Again, you know, the cold formulas on one side, fanatics on the other side. Now, wait a minute. I'm just going to throw something out to you just a minute, just so you know. Your prophet said that you would better off be a fanatic than to be cold and indifferent and informal. Both of them's a ditch. And that's not the bride's position. But you would be better off leaning toward the fanatical side than the cold, starchy side. That's your prophet's. That's what he said. Amen. And a lot of you sometimes are worried about being some wildfire. Your prophet said, I'd rather have some wildfire than no fire. But we don't want wildfire. We want true fire. Come on, somebody. That's what we want. We want the true fire. We don't want wildfire. But it would be better than no fire. That's what your prophet said. And I say, now this is me. Maybe I don't have a say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. And my say is, don't worry about the wildfire. There's enough wet blankets around to put it out. Well, I tell you what, Brother Tim, this Holy Ghost, we'll just accept it by faith. Well, that's a good thought. Everything that you, when you come to God, you must believe. That's the beginnings. And everything comes to God must be accepted by faith. You got to believe it's for you. Got to believe it's to you. But I could go around this morning believing I had $100 in this pocket. Claiming I got $100 there. But everybody can see that pocket's empty. And I didn't empty it for this sermon. But it sure come in handy. And I can pretend I got $100. But this one, that $100 in this pocket won't buy me nothing. Amen. Faith is a possession. God revealed something to you. And when God reveals to you the Holy Ghost is for you, ain't nothing going to keep you from it. When God begins to deal with your heart and says a promise to you and your children and to them that are far off, there ain't no devil going to keep you away from it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, Brother Branham said in the fourth seal, I'm going back to the seals because, again, you know, I just feel led to go that way. In the fourth seal, he says, now Jesus told him in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but go ye up to Jerusalem and wait until. What was the promise of the Father? Joel 2:28. Why we found out he was going to pour out his Spirit. Isaiah 28:19, how there'd be stammering lips and other tongues and these things. And they went up there, and as they went through it, many, maybe one said, why, I believe we've waited long enough. Let's just accept it by faith. That was good Baptist doctrine. That's keeping up the lamb. You know? But it didn't work with them brothers. So the first thing you know, it had to become a reality. And they waited on their ministry for the word to be vindicated. And when you come to seek the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, you do the same. Yes, you can accept it by faith. You have to accept Christ by faith. That's exactly right. And you accept the Holy Spirit by faith. But then let the Holy Spirit come and give the circumcision as a witness that he has accepted your faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. But God gave him the sign of circumcision as a confirmation and that he accepted his faith. And that's the same thing we must do. We must wait on the Holy Spirit till it's done something. Till it's done something. Not necessarily because we spoke in tongues. Not because we danced or we got emotional or we shouted. But until we were changed. Until something actually happened. And he says, I don't care what form it comes in, just so it happened. That's the main thing. Just so it happened. That's the main thing. Now, again, Brother Branham said, he speaks of it, said, I believe in speaking in tongues. We won't go through all of that. Again, but he says, though I speak with tongues of men of angels, have not charity, it profit me nothing. Though I could do it. So those things doesn't mean you have the Holy Spirit. But when he, the person, the immortal Spirit of Christ becomes your personal Savior and changes you and throws your views right straight into Calvary to this word, something's happened. Yes, sir. Something has happened. No one will have to tell you about it. You'll know it when it happened. Amen. Why? Because it's a positive token. Again, the mark of the beast. Brother Branham says the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. If you say you believe and you haven't received the Holy Ghost, then God's never recognized your faith yet. That's right. Because the seal is recognition that God has completed and finished his work in you, that he's recognized. Sure. Somebody said, why do you make it so loose, Brother Branham? Saying, St. John 5:24, that's the beginnings of the Spirit. That's right. I believe a man, as soon as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a portion of the Holy Spirit. When you're sanctified, another part of the Holy Ghost cleanses you. But then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Right now, he that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. That's only a type of it. That's God's life. You see, that's the approach unto it. You must believe it. You must start somewhere. And every man must start by believing. But believing isn't receiving. It must be the person of the Holy Ghost. Listen, the same person that walked the shores of Galilee, that lived in the body of Jesus, returns again in the form of the Holy Ghost to continue his work. Amen. How many wants to be a body he can dwell in? To continue the works of God. Amen. The same life. Remember when they came out? Oh, listen now. They didn't say, I got to wait on the adoption. That was the adoption. Somebody help me preach. That was their adoption. I've come into an inheritance. I'm acting as a son. I'm not a servant. Hallelujah. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I hope you're getting it. Amen. The life that was in Christ was in them. Amen. If you can just stop and realize this morning, the devil wants to blind you and buffalo you and make you think that the Holy Spirit that you've got is not powerful enough against the enemy. Listen, let me tell you, it's more than powerful. It is the very creative life of Jesus Christ living in a believer. Hallelujah. In there is power of creation. In there is divine healing. Listen, church, we should not just talk about divine healing. We should practice divine healing. Amen. Hallelujah. We should not. Listen, it's the hour. It's the time to realize the token, the life of Jesus Christ is in you as a believer. Now you lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Whatever you ask in my name, you are given authority to use his name because he lives on the inside of you. It's not you doing the work anymore, but it's your Father dwelling in you. He's doing the work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The token has to be displayed. Now, same thing here. It's not how much understanding we have of the Bible or how much we know about the Bible. It's how much the author is living in you. Oh, I know all the quotes and I've been in study and I've been this. Let me tell you, the life has got to be there. I've seen men take the message and speak like words like a machine gun and get under anointing and speak and then go and pollute your little daughter. Why is it? The token wasn't there. They might have had an anointing. They might have could have shouted. They might have had a knowledge of the word. Oh, ain't nobody can explain it. Listen to me, church. What's happening around the country? I see broken churches where people are sitting there with preachers in the pulpit who have sinned, who have committed adultery on their wife, or run out with another woman and still want to preach, and the people keep voting him in. What's wrong with that congregation? What's wrong with those people? Amen. Shouldn't we know by now that the power of the Holy Ghost can change a man's life? This is not some Pentecostal move with a Jimmy Swaggart or a Jim Baker that's there and they're polluting the women and living a double life and all these other things and preaching the gospel. This has got to be a purity. This has got to be a holiness. This has got to be where the life, not a knowledge of the message, but the life has got to be on display. We got men in the pulpit discovered to be homosexuals. Oh God, why? Why kind of things like that come in? Because it's let me just say it, not physically, not literally, but it's those Jesuits, those spies of the devil. Coming right in the church, impersonating a real Christian. You say, Brother Tim, I've been that way. I've lived that kind of life. Well, you can live different. You don't have to live some shady life. Oh no, there's a reality. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I just want to say, sometimes you'll look and you'll see somebody like that. And Satan even brings somebody in and he'll get so anointed. And that whatever, like a terrorist, and blew himself up and caused carnage through the whole church. Amen. Listen, this happened even in Jesus' ministry. Judas came right in there. But I'm going to tell you, though Judas caused the crucifixion, though Judas caused the betrayal, Judas could never stop the message. And Judas will never stop this message. Amen. Let me tell you, the betrayer will come in. The betrayer will blow himself up. He'll cause carnage everywhere, but he'll never stop this message. There is an elect that will go on. They can come right in, disguise themselves, and blow themselves up like a terrorist. Cause carnage everywhere. People to fall away. Sickness in the body. Destruction everywhere. But God said, I'll have a church. Jesus said, I will build a church. And there's not enough devils to stop him. And there's not enough devils to stop you. There's not enough devils to stop me. You say, Brother Tim, I've been one of those, and I recognize myself. I was a backslider. I blew up, and I claimed to be this, and I lived that kind of life. Is there hope for me? Yes! Yes, there's hope for you. Amen. There's room at the cross for you. There's mercy there for you. There's grace there for you. That no matter how low you went into sin. You say, Brother Tim, I'm a young person, and I've deceived my parents, and I've deceived my friends, and I've lived a double life, and I've done this, and I've betrayed, and I brought shame, and I did this. Is there any hope for me? Yes! The very reason why you're crying out means there's hope for you. Say, have I crossed the line? No! If there's something beating down on the inside of your heart, I want to be real. I tried, but I hadn't been real. I've been a put on. I've been a deceiver. I've deceived my wife. I've deceived my children. I've deceived myself. Listen, this is the greatest age of deception there's ever been. Because your deception ain't out there at Rome. Your deception is right in here, believing you got it and you ain't. And then all this kind of life starts coming and living out of you that brings a reproach on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, even if you're a denier like Peter was, he's coming by this morning in the power of his resurrection. Go tell my disciples and Peter. He's calling your name this morning. And he's saying to you this morning, I'm calling you, I'm letting you know, you've been a denier, you've been a cheat, you wanted to do right, but you failed, you blew up. You betrayed me before the cock crowed the third time. You betrayed me. But I'm wanting you to know, I'm resurrected, and I'm here among you today, and I'm giving you a personal message that you who's been a denier can find room at the foot of the cross. Meet me at Pentecost. Get in the upper room and meet me at Pentecost. Because at Pentecost, I'll take the cowardness out of you. I'll take the betrayer out of you. I'll take the deceiver out of you. I'll take the word denier out of you. I'll take all of that and I'll put my spirit in you. And you'll walk out from that upper room. Hallelujah. Empowered with something different. Hallelujah. That can say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give. Amen. I've got enough for me and I got enough for you. And I got virtue in my life and strength in my life enough for me and enough for you. And I can lead my family and I can lead my home. I can lead my children. I can do hallelujah. Why? Hallelujah. Because he comes on the inside of you. It's a positive token. Are you with me? What a positive token. Brother Branham said there can't be any more token. In other words, any greater token. Oh, if you could just catch the thought of it. If I had the power this morning with words to express and place it in your soul, that it's on the end, not in your ears, but in your soul, And you could see the guarantee of it. It makes you so relaxed. Relaxed. At peace. Not lukewarm. Not careless. But relaxed. Relaxed how? Like they were that night when the death angel came. My staff is in my hand. My shoes are on my feet. My cloak is on my back. I got lamb in my hand. And I got blood applied on the door. But the death angel's coming. Yeah. What are you going to do? Meet this lamb. And stay under the blood. But can't you hear the screams? Can't you see the carnage? Can't you see the falling away? Yeah, I do. But he shall prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Let's go to Psalms 27. Verse 1. We're going to go down to about 6. So just spin them till I tell you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This is a rapture message. This is the seventh seal. This is his coming. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You see, the seal is the security. Stop just a minute. A security. Remember the boxcar? He comes and examines everything and then he puts a seal on it. And nothing can break that seal. But Brother Tim, you don't know what kind of trial I've had. Nothing could break the seal. But you know, I tell you now, Brother Tim, you just don't understand, you know, human frailty. I mean, you know, we're all human, and you know, I mean, come on, even great preachers like Jimmy Swagger, they couldn't live this, and different others, and Satan appoints you to all kinds of. And I'm telling you that this seal is a security. But you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life or every moment of your life and go to hell. Yeah, you can have an anointing, but you can't have this seal and be lost. Well, someone with the Holy Ghost going to miss the rapture. It's impossible. How could the life of God not go when he lifts his spirit? The seal. Security. Every symptom of sin is gone. Did you hear that? Yes. Every symptom of sin is gone. You are dead. Listen, Brother Branham says it in the first seal. I'm going back to that just for a minute. Just hold that up on the screen. I'll preach it in a minute. I want you to get this thought. Because we're talking about a positive token. This is no guess. Hope so. Maybe so. Well, it'll hold. But, you know, if I come through this storm, will it hold? It'll hold in any storm. This is what Brother Branham said in his life. He said he'd come right down to that place. When he had lost his wife and lost his daughter, all these things was going on, and Satan began to talk to him. He even prayed and asked God to save their lives, to not let them be die. And black sheep comes before him. God won't hear. He said, God, you won't hear my prayer for my baby. What did she do? I was the one that done wrong, and what my baby? He come right down to that moment where he just was about to say, God, if that's the kind of God you're going to be, that's the way you're going to be, then I won't serve you. And he said, right at that moment, something moved up within him. And said, though God slay me, yet I will trust him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, in the hour of trial, the anchor held. The bleach. Brother Branham said, how could they go through the trial, talking about the tribulation, to purify them when the bleached blood of Jesus Christ takes away, takes every symptom of sin and stuff away from you, and you're already dead and your life is hid through God and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost? What are you going to be judged for? How can you be judged? It's a security. The seal signifies ownership. Ownership. A seal signifies ownership. It shows who you belong to. The blood of Jesus. Oh my. Can you imagine the devil coming by and looking and seeing the seal? That you belong to Jesus Christ. And the scripture says to Satan, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. I rebuke kingdoms for their sakes, and I will rebuke you for touching mine anointing. Let me tell you something, friends. Satan touches you as a child of God. I'm going to tell you right now, he's got Jesus on his hands. And let me tell you what he is. He's kinsman redeemer, and his kinsman redeemer, he's kinsman avenger. And when it comes to his adversary, the devil, this one who's so full of mercy and grace has no mercy, no grace. But he faces the wrath of the Lamb. Ownership. A seal is a security. Security means you're secure. This is from the breach. You don't believe in eternal security? I don't know. But seal signifies security to its destination. Woe to that guy that would try to break that seal. And the Holy Spirit seal cannot be broken. You've heard me say that people said the devil made me do this. No. No. The devil didn't do it. You just wasn't sealed in. So, because when you're sealed in, he's sealed out. A positive token. Now, you went out to him. He couldn't get into you because the only way he'd get into you is to come through the same process that you have. He'd have to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he would be your brother. So see, he didn't do it. No, no. You just went to the borderline and come back lusting for the things of the world. You never went all the way over into Canaan, see? You cross Jordan to death to self in the seventh seal that he preaches today 50 years ago. He said, our Venice brothers say seal of God's keeping the Sabbath day. But I want one speck of scripture on it. And to show you to and show that keeping the Sabbath day is a seal of God. It's just something, somebody drawed in that idea. But if you read Ephesians 4:30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Yes, sir, when the mediator work is done, you are come. Christ comes to redeem his own. You are sealed, not to the next revival. That's what happens, you know. People come, this revival, they get saved. Then they backslid and go back out and have another revival and get saved all over again. Not saved to the next revival, watch. When you're once sealed with the Holy Ghost, it's a finished work that God has received you. And there's no getting away from it. You say, I had it and I went away. No, you didn't have it. God says it goes on to the day of redemption. You just argue with him. Till the day of your redemption. That's You know when your redemption's going to be? When your body is changed. What I'm telling you, this is a positive token that will keep you in the hour of your temptation. No matter what comes, you are shown as He owns you. You are sealed. It's a security. Amen. Glory to God. And there's no getting away from it. Satan is sealed out and you are sealed in. Amen. God won't do that until He inspects your vessel and sees that nothing's out of order. Amen. When you're still lusting for the world, you say, well, Brother Tim, I've been praying for the Holy Ghost. I've been waiting on the Holy Ghost for years. God's been waiting on you to make a full surrender. Nobody had to wait on the Holy Ghost since the day of Pentecost. Amen. You have waited because God has been waiting on you to come and give a full surrenderance. And the moment you come to that full surrenderance, that's when God will fill you with His presence. Now then, what a positive token. It's a guarantee. It makes you so relaxed. No matter what comes, you got confidence in this token. Why? The Lord is my light. Not the Lord was. Not a God that used to be. The Lord is. That's the first thing. The Lord is. When you become a part of this revelation, the Lord is. Amen. He is. It's a now God. It's a present God. It's a God that is. Healing is. Miracles is. It's not something of the future. It's not something of the past. It's present. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whom shall I fear? What devil? Say, there's been one that haunted my family. What devil? One been haunting my marriage. What devil? One that's been haunting my home. What devil? Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. The Lord is the strength of my life. Come on, church. David's prophesying of our day. The Lord is the strength. How are you going to lose when He's my strength? How can I fail when He's my strength? How can I not conquer when He's my strength? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Next verse. When the wicked... The wicked will come. Even mine enemies and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh. So you got a weakness here, Brother Tim. It's your flesh. When he comes to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Did you get it? Amen. It wasn't you stumbled and fell. Here the devil comes and he tempts me. And oh, every man's subject to his flesh, Brother Tim. Oh, let me tell you, this flesh is subject to deity. This flesh has become subject to the Holy Ghost. The flesh is no longer the master. Oh, I felt the charge of the Holy Ghost right then. The flesh is not your master anymore. Your fallen nature is not your master. You've got a new king on your throne. Hallelujah. And this king controls this flesh. And when the enemy, even mine enemies and my foes, came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I'm telling you something, devil. The word is against you. Amen. Come on, the word is against you. You're coming against this bride. The word is against you. In this age, he will stumble. This bride is not leaving out of here a defeated group, barely making it. Chewing her fingernails because the death angel's coming. This bride ain't going to barely make it. She's already made it. She's not in some winner's circle. She is the winner. She is not just someone who barely makes it. Let me give you an illustration. Some years ago, I have these fights, and I guess they still do. But I don't pay a lot of attention to a lot of the stuff. So I don't really know what goes on today in fights and boxing and so on. But Muhammad Ali, he was supposed to be the great. So he gets challenged to fight. The prize money is millions of dollars. I don't know how much. But millions of dollars at stake. Muhammad Ali knows he's got to fight. Who do you fight? George Foreman? Somebody? I don't know. Oh, I'm on track. I wouldn't have known. Somebody told me, I guess. So anyway, he's gonna fight in one of his fights. Let's just say it. He trains. He eats right. He's on a certain diet. Every day he's out practicing. He's learning his moves. Gets in an opponent where he can fight. Practice all his moves. Do all his things. Sweating. Working out. Taking hits. Toughening up. So many blows to the stomach. Get that stomach tight. Everything. Get used to taking the jars. He finally has a contest. I don't know who won that one, but we'll just say on this one he won. So he goes in there, you know, and he goes in. One round, two round, three. Knocks out his opponent. He wins. They give him the $1 million. He's a conqueror. He's a great conqueror. Come on now. He walks into his home that night. And he hands over the check to his little wife and said, "Here, honey. Look what I got for you." She says, "Thank you." She didn't sweat for it. She didn't work for it. She didn't diet for it. She didn't train for it. She didn't take a blow for it. She got it because she was his wife. He was a conqueror. She was more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. My wife knows that story well, because when I hand her my check, she goes to the bank. She said, I'm more than a conqueror. She never preached a sermon for it. She didn't study for it. She got it because she's my wife. Let me tell you, you didn't have to go to Calvary. You didn't have to die on the cross. You didn't have to face the opponent. You didn't have to knock him out. Hallelujah. But she handed to you a title deed and said, "You're more than a conqueror." Hallelujah. He was the conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. My enemy, they stumbled and they fell. Hallelujah. What are you going to expect? Yes. Come on. What's happening? Next verse. Though a host. That word in the Old Testament is army. Though an army should encamp against me. Here's a bunch of devils. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Hallelujah. Next verse. Amen. One thing How am I? How many can say this morning? One thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Now David could only dwell in his house and go into his tabernacle. But you under this glorious covenant can be his tabernacle. Hallelujah, that he might dwell in me all the days of my life. That I would be able to behold or look upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire into his temple. Hallelujah. Amen. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his tent, in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And he's going to set me on a revelation. Hallelujah. A host of hell. The death angel coming. The fourth horse rider now fixing to change, or the horse rider changing from the black into the pale. And when the bride goes, he becomes in fullness. But here he's coming right to the maximum that he can before the coming of the Lord. And in the time of trouble, he has hid me in his pavilion. I want you to bow your heads together with me. A positive token. A positive token. A positive token. Not a guess where. Not a hope. Not a hope so, maybe so. But positive. I want you to think of this morning. Mornings went into afternoon now. Got a little skit here in just a few minutes over fellowship hall, actually in a couple of hours, whatever time it's going to be, around 4:30. Don't know. They'll announce. Something very, very pressing. The Holy Spirit has pressed on me though this morning to preach to you of a positive token. I'm going to just read you and share with you while you just pray. Just pray real softly. Brother Timothy started out with only believe. All things are possible. We don't normally sing that when I come out, but how appropriate, I think, as I'm looking back to those seven seals and that ministry. It's a song the angel of God loved to hear. He always drew near. Should never leave us. Only believe. All things are possible. Brother Branham said, as he come close to the closing of one of the seals, the second seal, said, Billy and I, when we got off the plane in India, our last trip there, I was looking over the paper that they brought. It was written in English. It said, the earthquake must be over. The birds are coming back. They gave the details. Something funny happened. Very odd. India don't have woven fences like we do. They pick up rocks and build their fence. Build a lot of their houses out of rocks, just place them there, and it's warm there around. Pretty well anywhere near in India, unless you're up in the mountains. All down through Calcutta, and people lay on the streets starving to death. And they build their houses and towers of their homes, of their house. They run fence right up there, side of their house, build it. Tower for the house, tower maybe where they got their well and they dug it for the cattle and things. But all at once something happened. The little birds, you know, got that go into their rocks and build their nests and raise their youngs. Something began to happen. Every day when it get hot, the cattle would come around, stand under the shadow of the walls to keep cool. Little birds live in those places, and all of a sudden them little birds, for some unknown reason, took off.
and went out and didn't come back to the nest. And they went out in the field. They sat in the tree wherever they could get, right on the ground. The cattle wouldn't come around. The rock sheep wouldn't come around. They stayed out in the field, hugged up against one another. They knew something was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, an earthquake took place and shook the walls down, the fences, everything else. And little birds began to come back. They didn't come back for 3 or 4 days and began to come back. And they said, well, the earthquakes must be over now. The birds are coming back. Don't you believe the same God that can make them birds and cattle and sheep in the days of Noah go into the ark, he's still the same God that can make them fly to safety? Let me say something, brother. There's something fixing to happen. And all these big old ecclesiastical walls are going to collapse and go right back yonder and agree, because they're going to do it certain as I'm standing here. There's an image to that beast just as certain as I'm standing here. And this nation has took it according to the word of the Lord. Listen, when you feel that little funny feeling, get away from them walls. Get away, you'll die in there. Don't do it. Come out of it. Get away from all this stuff. Flee to safety as quick as you can and ask God for mercy. Don't just take some, well, my mother was a Methodist, so I suppose I'll be. My papa was a Baptist, I'll be. Don't you do that. Don't you take any chance. I don't care how simple and humble it seems, is the word of the Lord. You flee to Jesus Christ as quick as you can, and you stay there until God fills you with His Holy Spirit. For the hour is going to come when you'll hunt for it, and it won't be there. So be sure to do it. In this prayer, he said, Heavenly Father, sometimes, Lord, I stand here and tremble, and I think of that awful hour that's approaching. And there's no way to stop it. It's predicted it would come. And I thought, why don't these people come and listen to him? And why don't they come and accept it? But of course, I know you said they wouldn't, so they won't. But there's some that's got their names written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And when them seals are thrown open, they see their name there and the Holy Spirit speaks to them and they come. You can't keep them away. No one can. They're coming anyhow because you're leading them like you did those little birds and the sheep and the cattle. Thou art God. Some instinct to an animal could warn him to flee from danger. What should the Holy Spirit do to a church that claims to be filled with it? God, be merciful to us. Forgive us, Lord, of all our shortcomings. We don't mean to stand here in the pulpit and let these people stand around the walls, their limbs aching. Just go away and say, well, that sounds very good. So, Lord, we want to do something about it. We want you to search our heart. And if there's anything wrong, Lord, let us know. Please don't let us come to that hour yonder when it's too late. Search me, try me, Lord. Here I stand here by the grace of God, seeing those seals broke open there and telling these people. And when you predicted it would happen this way weeks ago, and now, Father, here it is right before me. Now try me, Lord. Search me in my heart, Lord. We want you to look into our lives. If there's anything in there that's not right, just speak to us. We want to make it right now. Right now. While there is a fountain filled with blood. While there's a bleach that will cleanse our sins and unbelief. We want to plunge our souls beneath that. All our unbelief. God, help our unbelief. Take it away from us, Lord. We want to receive rapturing grace. We want to be able that when that mysterious thunder thunders out yonder and the church is taken up, we want to be ready to receive it, Lord. Grant it. Try us, Lord, by your word. Let's look back to it. If we see we fail, there be those who've been baptized in the titles and know nothing about the real true baptism. May I be faithful as Paul when he passed through the upper coast of Ephesus. Found disciples screaming and shouting, having a glorious time. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they knew not whether there was any. Then says, how was you baptized? And they were baptized by that glorious holy prophet. But they had only been baptized under repentance. And then they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul commanded them to be baptized over again. Lord, in the light of your word, I command every person that's not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to hasten to the water quickly while you have a chance. You have not been filled with the Holy Ghost. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fall to your knees and don't get up until the Holy Spirit has sanctified you thoroughly and filled you with His love and goodness, until your soul is so satisfied with the presence of God that your whole desire is to serve Him and walk for Him and work with Him all the rest of your life. You're just thinking about that for a minute. Let's just sing softly, "I love Him because He first loved me." You can feel your need today. You feel you need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know your need has been revealed to you. You want to be remembered in prayer. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. Nobody can. Only we can baptize you in water. But we can't give you the Holy Spirit. If you feel your need, that God is speaking to you. You want to be remembered in prayer. Why don't you just stand up where we can know who you are? God sees you. Lord bless you. Somebody next to you. Maybe that was one that was praying and saying, "Lord, I really want that Holy Spirit of God. I want that seal." This is not fanaticism. This is not playing. This is coming sincerely with all your heart. I just want you to pray, Heavenly Father. Pray together, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let your Holy Spirit move on this audience as a rushing wind and fall into every heart. Send down the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon these people. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I just pray, Lord, for every member of this congregation, that everyone, Lord, right now, while we are praying, we'll seek that consecrated walk with you, Lord. Lord, that real dedicated walk, and there be a real dedication, a real consecration in their lives, Lord. That there could be a real change. That you'd speak through this congregation in a real way today and fill them with your presence, Lord. Lord, you didn't bring us this far to leave us. You didn't bring us this far, Lord, to let us down. Lord, you brought us here to this end age and this end time. And you promised the Holy Ghost would be here to the end of the age.
Lord, we're not wanting just some fanaticism or just a jump or a shout. Lord, these people want your real presence. And there's something in their heart that cries out for God. And when there's a deep calling into the deep, there has to be a deep to respond. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray today you'll confirm the word, oh God, that has been preached with an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. You'll come upon this congregation and breathe on them. Breathe on them life. And I say to the powers of hell and to the powers of darkness, Satan, you've lost the battle. You cannot hold these. There has been repentance done in the name of Jesus Christ. And though they may not be Peters and betrayers and deniers and whatever else that they've been along the road, I don't care how far you've taken them. You've got to take your hands off of them now in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't hold them any longer. I adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus to leave them. Take your unbelief and go. The spirit of doubt that would want to hold them back and say that it's not for them, you got to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. I take authority over you and cast you out. Because the word said, in my name you shall cast out Satan. And Satan, you cannot hold them any longer. They are repentant souls that is crying out to God right now. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to lead them, Satan, so that they can receive the promise of God. For the promise is unto them and to their children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Now I want you just to raise your hands up to God. He gave a word. You've repented. You've made a surrender to God to say, I surrender all that I am. All that I am, Lord, right now, I make a full surrender to you. I make a full surrender right now to you, Lord. Amen. Just make that your pledge right now. And I want you to just begin to thank him. Thank him because he's going to keep his word. And you begin to praise him right now for what he has said he would do, that he's done it. Hallelujah, because he said he would do it. You're just going to thank him for it right now. Amen. For you feel anything, I'm not asking you to feel something. I'm just asking you, just begin to worship God and begin to thank him that he's keeping his word, that he's performing his word like he promised that he would do, that he said he would send the Holy Spirit upon those who would believe. And you're a believer this morning. And you just accept it right now in his name. And just raise your hands to him. And with all your heart, with everything within you, just begin to praise him. And just begin to thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you for this Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your word of promise. I thank you, Lord, that you said it in your word. And it's there for me. And I accept it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That it is for me, it is for my life. I want to be filled with you, and I thank you for your presence now, and I accept it now in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Hallelujah. Just love him now with all your heart. Just love him with all your heart. Come on. Lift your voice up to him. Give him praise, all you people. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so now. Just begin to praise him because he dwells in the praises of his people. He comes right down when you begin to praise him, when you begin to worship him, when you begin to acknowledge that he's done it, that he's the high priest that can be touched by the feelings of your infirmity. He's touched by your need this morning, and he's reaching out to you with, amen, reaching out to you. Just reach back to him right now. In the name of Jesus, say, Lord, I love you with all my heart. I love you. I'm just going to serve you, Lord. I'm just going to serve you from this day on, Lord. Amen. I just want your power in my life, Lord. I just want your joy in my life. I just want that peace in my life. I want to apply that token. We're not coming together to talk about the token. We're coming about to apply the token. We're not talking about the message. We're applying the life now. Apply it to my heart, Lord. Just with a feeling of your presence. With all of my heart, Lord, to make a full surrender. The more that I surrender, the more he takes control. Amen. Just surrender everything. Here I give it, Lord. I give it to you, Father, with all of my heart. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come on, just say it to him from your heart. I love you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, dear Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the promise of the Holy Ghost. I thank you that you're here at evening, my tabernacle. This morning, 50 years, Jubilee. Here it is. The seals have been opened. We've had now 50 years. Oh God, oh Lord, we've come now to a very, very crossroad. Lord Jesus, let your power come among us today. Not just in a shout or a dance, but a real deep sincerity. And every member apply that blood. Apply that blood to their heart. Apply that life. Lord, today I give myself again to you anew. I give myself again to you, anew, Lord. How many could say that this morning? How many Christians could say, I need that real dedication, Lord. I want to make a full surrender. I want to give all my heart, Lord. All my life. Everything that I am. I want to surrender to you, Father. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. Glory to God. That's right. Just love him now with all your heart. Just in the sweetness of his presence. Just in the sweetness of his presence. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, with all my heart, I just accept your word. I accept it. Jesus is the sweetest name. I know. Is it sweet to you today? He's the same today as ever. His love remains. Glory to God. And that's why I love him. Savior.